Please be seated. Now, you know, this is Franciscan sermon time, so I'm going to do something, but don't worry, everything is okay. So you may be asking yourself, why am I going up here? Because it's here. I can barely see you. And now that you think that I've gone the wrong direction, wait until this. In the Gospel of Matthew, oh no, we read Luke. What is he thinking? Hang on. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus goes up to the mountain and says to the people that he has gathered around them, those for this purpose are in white robes or red with a white surplice, and at the far part of the hearing range is Alistair with his wonderful green vestment on. Thank you. And so Jesus said on top of the mountain to those who were close and gathered, "Blessed are those poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Listen to that one more time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew's gospel was written about 880 AD, so about 50 years after Jesus died. And he wrote it typically to a Jewish congregation, Jewish communities. And of course, they had a long tradition of teaching in their religion. And so they were used to being gathered together and gone off to a high place to study. But Luke, here's what happens in Luke. He came down with them. Do you see the difference? He came down with them. And a great crowd was there. People from Jerusalem, Judea, Tyre, and Sidon, both Gentile and Jew. Jesus came down to be with them. And he said, "Blessed are you, the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew says, "Blessed are the poor." Luke says, "Blessed are you, poor." So let's just stop with some of that and talk about what it's like for Jesus to come down the mountain to us, where we live. So if we have any notion at all that it is important for us to leave where we live and ascend the mountain, we haven't listened to this gospel. Because this gospel teaches us that Jesus left the mountain to be with us, where we are. Oh, I just finished the dishes. So I have just finished dumping the kitty litter box. So I just got cranky with somebody that cut me off in the bike lane. So, must have been Father Bill. Jesus meets us where we are. So we start with that. And here's another thing that happens, is that when Jesus comes off the mountain, people have a sense that things are different. They have a sense that something is beginning to be aligned or opened up or vulnerable, that they are being met. See, it's much easier when I'm way up there, I don't know, 50 feet, to kind of like say, oh God, he's way up there, time to do the laundry list. See, but I'm right here in the middle of you, so it's a more of a challenge, right, Chris? You can make people nervous just standing by them. But see, it's not as easy because I'm closer and I can see you and you can see me and you're not blurry. When people gather and they are in the presence of Jesus and they begin to know that Jesus is with them, they are brought together as a people and they're healed. But what does that mean to be healed? It means that those things in our hearts that you and I struggle with, it means the broken dreams, it means the relationships that haven't gone the way you wanted them to go, it means that the earth seems broken. Whatever those things are that trouble our hearts are put to rest. We're given a different way of seeing this. Where we are, not on the mountain, where we are. So what does that healing begin to look like? Jesus says, if you are poor, if you are poor, the kingdom, the fullness, the wonder, the satisfaction, the magnificence, the love of God is yours. It is not an economic thing that we're talking about here. We are talking about a poorness, an openness, a vulnerability to God, to know that no matter how hard we work in attaining things, woe to you who are rich. You have been satisfied with greed, and it's empty. But those of you who are open, vulnerable, willing, you will know the richness and the wonder and the beauty of God. And what about if you're hungry? What do you hunger for? Peace, justice, good relationships, kindness, mercy, forgiveness? Whatever it is that you hunger for, if you hunger for these things that are the things of God, you will be satisfied. Woe to you if you hunger for being full, gluttons, not just of food, but of acquisition, of taking more than you need, of not giving justice because you're afraid it's limited, of not giving forgiveness because it gives you power. Woe to you. But if you're hungry, you will be satisfied. And blessed are you if you mourn. Blessed are you if you mourn. Broken dreams, lost loved ones, youth. Blessed are you who mourn, for you will laugh. You will laugh. You'll see. You will see that love conquers all, even death. Whatever you mourn, know that everything is drawn back to God in fullness and in love. No matter what you mourn, you will laugh. Woe to you. If you think this is the end of it, it's not. Jesus is risen. Love has conquered death. Blessed are you who mourn. You will laugh with your beloved. And what if you get persecuted? You say all the right things and people get cranky and say all the wrong things to you. What if they pick on you because you believe in peace and justice and mercy and kindness and compassion? And in the light of that, when somebody treats you in a mean way, you dig deep to find forgiveness. You are going to be fine. You're going to belong to God. You do belong to God. You will be comforted. Woe to you who don't speak the truth, don't act in justice, are not compassionate. Blessed are you, for you know God. Now, Jesus comes to be amongst us, in the middle of us, to meet us where we are, to proclaim these things. Blessed are you, and I mean you. Now, and I mean now. Not tomorrow, not 5 weeks from now, not when you meet your holy and heavenly reward. I'm talking about now. God's reality in our lives is now. Blessed are you who know the love of God. Now you will be comforted. You will laugh. You will belong. You will be gathered into God's household. Blessed. Blessed are you now.